Fasten your seatbelts and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
When it comes to winter sport,
when it is cold,
it is generally thought,
so we are told,
that hockey is the game to which we flock. But if you actually play,
participate,
then curling wins the day.
It's really great.
In Canada, more people curl than hawk. And the hero who can curl always gets the girl. She tells the friend she phones that he plays with the stones, and she will be his bride. Together they will slide. He will naturally sweep her off her feet.
Wow, I had no idea we had that particular curling song in the library there. Nicely done. Well, it's probably one of the more unusual sports you may have seen, but curling is quickly becoming one of the more popular winter activities to take up. And it has a very rich history in Wisconsin. So, for the next hour, it's ATC, or All Things Curling, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good evening, I'm Bill Martins, filling in for Glenn Moberg on this week's Route 51. It's 5:08 on this Thursday, December the 16th. I have to admit, when I would flip through the channels and came across curling, I just didn't get it. I mean, I could figure out they were sliding these stone things across the ice, aiming at a target, but it looked really boring to me. Didn't really look like anybody was having fun, didn't really see anybody cheering or celebrating. And then a friend of mine told me he had joined a curling club while in college in the UP, and he just loved it. So I gave it more of a chance, and now I think it could be something I could really get into. What about you? Any curlers out there? Why do you do it? What first attracted you to it? Maybe you enjoy it more as a spectator. Maybe you have a question about a particular rule or technique or piece of equipment. Give us a call, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. You can also comment on the Route 51 fan page on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter if you would prefer. My guest is way ahead of me on this one. He's Mike Maher, coach of the Wausau East curling team, whose girls' varsity squad took third at state earlier this year, I understand. Welcome to Route 51, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bill.
How are the boys and girls doing this year?
Well, this year I have a very young team in terms of experience, and we've got some growing pains going on, but we've notched a couple of wins. We've played good competition here in the central part of the state, and I think we're off to a great start.
Well, good. Well, hopefully bright things on the future for your young squad there. How many curlers you got now compared to when this started, 60-some years ago at East?
About 60 years ago, and students have asked me how long we've curled at East High School, and I've told them about 60 years. They look at me and ask me if I'm the only coach that we've ever had. I'm not 60 years old yet, so no, there were a couple of coaches before me. When I started coaching about 15 years ago, I had 14 curlers on the team. 6 years ago, we hit a peak of about 65 curlers, and right now, just at Wausau East High School, we have 46 on the team. My competitors at Wausau West have over 50. DC Everest High School in Schofield also has around 35 or 36 curlers, so we're looking at about 100 high school students just in the city of Wausau or the Wausau area that are involved in high school curling.
Wow, what is it that makes them join, you think?
Well, I think that years ago some kids started. They found out how much fun it is, and they began telling their friends. Word of mouth spread the idea of curling, and it just blossomed from there. I find it's interesting the groups of students that I get to curl. At one point, I had a lot of kids that were also involved in band. There seems to be a connection to the sport of golf. This year, I had a lot of young women who were on the tennis team that came out for curling. But one student tells another how much fun they're having, and they try it. And it can be addictive, just like some people get addicted to golf. People can get addicted to curling. It's just a lot of fun.
You know, I know people used to think that golf was a big snooze fest until Tiger Woods hit the scene a few years back and, you know, essentially made it cool. I know when we were talking on the phone earlier this week, you said the 1998 Olympics, you know, really got people hooked on curling. That's when curling again became an official Olympic sport. Did the Olympics do for curling what Tiger did for golf?
Boy, I really think so. I would encounter people in Wausau that would say, I saw curling last night on TV. I didn't really understand a lot about it, but I couldn't stop watching. And then they would ask me questions about rules, about why you did certain things, and they became very interested in that. And then at the Wausau Curling Club, we had an open house last spring and had hundreds of people, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of people show up that wanted to find out more about the sport, wanted to go out on the ice. They tried it, and we've really been almost a mixed blessing kind of situation where we've had so many people joining that we are trying desperately to find places to put them in all of our leagues.
Wow. So let me just throw the phone number out there again in case someone wants to get in and ask a question about curling, 1-800-780-9742. Our guest is Mike Maher, coach of the Wausau East Curling Team. Let's try to visualize this here. You've got a long sheet of ice, so you and your team are on one end. There's a big bullseye on the other end, and the goal is, what, to slide this big, heavy stone across the ice, try to get it as close to the target as possible? Is that pretty much the goal?
That's pretty much it. That bullseye target that you see is called the house, and it's a little over 100 feet away from where you start sliding. And you'll slide the stone. It's made of Welsh granite. It weighs about 42 pounds. And the rules basically say that the people that are going to score are the ones that get their stones closer to the center of that house, which is called the button. However many stones you get closer to the center than your opponent does, that's how many points you're going to score.
Okay, so if you and I are two opposing teams and you have, you know, two stones closer to the house than I do, then you would two closer to the house than my closest one, then you'd get 2 points there.
Correct.
Okay, and then how many times do you do that? I mean, you know, bowling has 10 frames. Do you have a similar thing in curling?
Sure. They're not called frames. They're called ends. And I usually explain an end to a new curler or to parents that come down to watch. It's like an inning in baseball. You have 8 stones on each team. 4 people on a team. Each curler is going to throw 2 stones. And once all stones are thrown, that's the end of the end. And you don't count the score until every stone has been thrown. And then you check inside the house, how many stones do I have closer than you have? And that's how many stones I get. If I have 7 stones in the house, but only one of mine is closer than your next stone, I only get 1 point.
So are you trying to knock other people's stones out of there as well, perhaps?
Sometimes. There's a lot of strategy involved in curling. If you have a stone in the house, my initial reaction is I'm probably going to try to take it out, in other words, knock it out of the house so that it doesn't score. But there may be some situations where instead I'm going to try to simply curl my stone, throw my stone in closer to the center than yours. That's called a draw shot. There are other shots, too. I might try to put a guard stone up. That would be a stone in front of the house that I'm either going to bump into the house for a score, or I'm going to try to curl around that stone and hide behind it and make it very difficult for you to get in and then try to take me out.
Hey, what's the deal with the people with the brooms? What are they doing?
Everybody asks that question. sweeping is certainly...
It's unusual. You don't have that in other sports.
Right. It's something that people find a little eccentric about the sport, and I think some people actually find it kind of comical. The sweeping is really a very important part of the game. And one thing that I love about the game, and I think my students that curl for Wausau East High School love about the game, is that it is the ultimate team sport. Nobody makes a shot unless everybody on the team is participating in it. You can't have one person that really carries the team. You can't have one superstar. Everybody has to play. And the sweepers are very important. Everybody except the skip of the team is going to sweep at some point. You rotate through throwing and sweeping. But what the sweeping does is that it causes, through the friction of the broom on the ice, it causes the ice to melt slightly. A microscopic amount of water is going to form on the ice. The stone is literally, and you can't see it because it is such an infinitesimal amount of water, but the stone is going to hydroplane a little bit. And what that does to the stone is that the stone is going to go straighter, and it's also going to go farther. A good sweeper, if you've got a powerful sweeper, you can get that stone to travel 10 or 15 feet farther down the sheet of ice than you would if you didn't sweep.
And I suppose you can put some, you know, spin on the stone when you're letting it go, maybe make it curve a little bit?
Well, that's where the sport gets its name, curling. When you throw the stone, you're going to throw what's either called an in-turn or an out-turn. The stone is either going to be spinning clockwise or counterclockwise. You want the stone to turn about 2.5 times as it goes down the sheet of ice. A tight spin isn't going to accomplish anything for you. The reason you want to put that turn on, that spin on the stone, is because there are imperfections in the ice. If you tried to throw a stone perfectly straight, the ice could take it anywhere the ice wants it to go. And so by putting that spin or that turn on the stone, it actually begins to gain some traction on the ice. And even though it's going to be curling or curving as it goes down the sheet of ice, you have much more control over where that stone is going.
And that's why you can see they call curling sometimes, what is it, chess on ice?
Yeah.
Because there's so much strategy involved in it?
Very, very much. And people have asked me what kind of student I want to come out for curling. And the number one thing I'm looking for is somebody that's a very bright student. And I would compare grade point averages of my curlers, and I would guess the curlers at Wausau West, DC Everest, Medford, Waupaca, wherever we're playing, I think you get the very best students in the school coming out. I want somebody who can think, who can figure out the strategy. I can teach them how to curl. And if they've got average or better athletic ability, we've got a pretty good curler then.
And there are also, I'm assuming, various penalties, I assume?
Right. And this is something that is also intriguing about curling and something that appeals to me a lot. It's a very ethical sport. There are no referees on the ice. You call your own penalty. One of the penalties, for example, is called burning the stone. As the stone travels down the sheet of ice, you cannot touch it. You can't touch it with your broom. You can't touch it with your hand. In fact, I had a student years ago who had a long scarf, and the fringes of her scarf just brushed the handle of the stone as it was traveling. That's burning the stone. As soon as the stone is burned, you pull it out of play. No one else on the ice may even know that you've done that. I can remember one time sweeping, and I accidentally touched the stone. You couldn't hear my broom click the stone when it touched it. My fellow sweeper didn't know that I had done it and kind of looked at me quizzically when I grabbed the stone and pulled it out of place. He said, "What happened?" I said, "I burned the stone." So even though nobody else on the sheet of ice knows that you've done it, you call it on yourself, regardless of what the penalty is, whether it's burning the stone, whether it's crossing the hog line, whatever it is, highly ethical, nobody else knows it, but you in your heart do, and you call the penalty on yourself.
I was going to say, that's one of the most interesting things I think there is about curling, just the fact that there are no referees or officials, call your own fouls, and I think that's definitely got to be one of the things that makes curling special. Again, we are talking with Mike Maher. He is the coach of the Wausau East Curling Team. 1-800-780-9742 if you want to chime in. Why do you go curling? What makes it so fun for you? What got you into it? Maybe you're thinking about getting involved in curling. We'll talk a little bit about how you can get involved in the sport and how you can, you know, just stop thinking about it and actually start doing it. So that's all coming up, but we got to take a little bit of a break first here. You're listening to Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Bill Martins, filling in for Glenn Moberg. Be back real quick.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
We are talking about curling this week on this edition of Route 51. And our guest is Mike Maher, who is the coach of the Wausau East Curling Team. And if you want to make a contribution to the program in the form of a question, that is. Maybe you have a question about the rules. Maybe you're wondering how to get involved in curling. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Mike, I want to talk a little bit about curling history for a second here, just because I know in Wisconsin it goes way back. In fact, according to the Wisconsin Historical Society, it actually came to the state in 1847, which was technically before Wisconsin even became a state. A curling club was formed in Milwaukee, another one in De Pere in 1848, Portage a couple of years later. I also read that the equipment has changed a little bit over the past years. But, Mike, as far as you know, pretty much the same game today as it was back then?
In some ways. The game has had some rule changes to try to make it a more interesting game for the players. The most recent rule change was the introduction of something called the free guard zone. And that was introduced probably 10 or 15 years ago. That rule states that when the first stones thrown by the lead are in play but not in the house, they can't be taken out, they can't be knocked out of play by the opponent until their second thrower throws stones. And what that does is it allows for a team to put guard stones up that they can then use very powerfully to score more points by either advancing them into the house, raising them, or by curling around them, using them as guards. It's a very offensive strategy. And years ago, if you'd put up guards, the other team would just knock them out right away. Now, those stones remain in play at least until the third and fourth stone thrown by your opponent.
And now I know Stevens Point is home to the United States Curling Association. What does curling mean to Wisconsin? I know there are curling clubs all over the state, so it's clearly big. But, you know, do you pack a lot of fans into the stands when you have a bond spiel?
You know, you really do. Wausau, for example, hosts a men's bond spiel in February. We get players from Canada. We get players from California. We get players from New York and all across the Midwest. When we host the Badger State Games, the stands at the Wausau Curling Club are full. It's standing room only. We have hosted the Wisconsin State High School Curling Championships, and again, standing room only. People do come down and watch. They're interested. They ask a lot of questions. I have a lot of parents that will come to our games, our high school games, and we'll get anywhere from maybe 30 to 100 people to come and just watch a curling game for high school in the afternoon. Lots of people asking questions, lots of fun to answer those questions, but it is a growing sport, and people are more and more interested in it.
Well, it appears that Dean in Marshfield is one of those people. We have him on the line, so let's go to him. Hey, Dean, welcome to Route 51.
Hi.
Hi, what did you want to say?
Well, I'm a curler in Marshfield. We've got a very active club here. We've been around not nearly as long as Wausau, but we've been around since the 1970s. And in fact, I think we're still the youngest club to organize in the state. But I want to talk about is something we do that's a little bit unique. We have a live radio broadcast of one of our games every year on local radio here, which is quite a challenge.
Yeah, I bet. How do you call such a thing?
Right. You're explaining a lot because the audience, obviously, a lot of the people listening don't necessarily know much about the game. So you're trying to describe exactly what's going on, where the rocks are, and what the players are trying to do all the time it's happening.
And
another challenging aspect of it is that things don't happen very rapidly. So it takes maybe, you know, 24 seconds for a rock to travel down the ice. So you have a lot of time to talk during the action itself. It's kind of interesting.
And, Dean, you said you're an actual curler?
I'm a curler, yep. I've curled for 28 years. I didn't start until I was 40, and I'm 68 now.
What got you into it?
I love it.
What got you into it?
Oh, friends. Friends who curled invited myself and my wife down, and we both started curling, mixed curling with them. And I just grew to love the game, and I've invited a lot of other people in over the years as well.
Yeah, so you guys are definitely growing out there in Marshfield, huh?
Well, we're growing. We're trying to. We're a smaller club than Wausau, but we're doing okay. We just had Debbie McCormick, Olympic curler, to our club last night, in fact, where she was working with some of our junior curlers, and and also selling some products that she sells in the curling business.
Oh, well, very nice. Well, it sounds like a good time there. Dean, best of luck to you. Happy curling.
Thank you. And this game that we're broadcasting, by the way, is this coming Monday night on the local radio station right here in Marshfield, WDLB.
Monday night curling. I love it. All right, Dean. Appreciate the call, Dean. Thanks very much.
You bet.
Mike, so, you know, curling club in Wausau, one in Marshfield. These things are just all over the state, huh?
Well, there are quite a few in central Wisconsin. For my curling team at East High School, we'll play against D.C. Everest and Wausau West, which also uses the Wausau Curling Club. We'll travel to Medford. We were just in Marshfield a couple of nights ago and had a great game down there, wonderful people to curl with. And we also have curling in Stevens Point and Waupaca. That basically makes up our league. And we just added Eau Claire, so we'll be making a road trip over to Eau Claire. In Portage County, or excuse me, Columbia County, lots of curling there. Trempealeau County, Madison, Milwaukee area, Green Bay actually has an Olympic curling site. They have ice year-round, and people will train for the Olympics there.
All right, well, we got to hit a news break here, Mike. We'll pick up more on curling here on Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Peggy sure loves to go curling, if only to see her husband sweet. And Doug likes it when his stones are turning, but when they're burned, it causes him to weep. Curling ain't like no other sport there is. Steroids and drugs are never heard of here.
At least not that we know of. Good evening. Bill Martin's filling in for Glenn Moberg here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Route 51. It is 5:36 on this Thursday. And 1-800-780-9742 if you want to get in on the program here. We are talking about curling and want to know why you curl. What gets you interested in it? Do you have any memorable moments from your curling outings? We want to hear about those. Again, 1-800-780-9742. You can also leave a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, or you can tweet us. We're talking with Mike Maher, who is the coach of the Wausau East High School curling team. And, Mike, I want to ask you, how physically fit do you need to be to play curling or to curl? You know, it wouldn't seem like you'd need to be a Greek god or something, but I suppose some balance and coordination isn't a bad thing.
Well, balance is obviously very important. In fact, I've had a number of kids that have come out for the team and have never curled before, but they've told me that they've skateboarded or they've been dancers, and they take to the sport very, very quickly and very well. I think that sometimes curlers get a bad rap for not being the most physically fit people. But really, the better condition you're in, the better curler you're going to be. The stronger you are, especially leg strength, that's really important for pushing out of the hack. It is a sport that people can play of all ages. In fact, my high school guidance counselor, who curled well into his 90s, he couldn't push off as hard as he did. His takeouts weren't as strong, but you can do that. There are some adaptations, though, that we've made for people that maybe didn't think that they could curl, people with bad backs, bad knees, bad hips. You can actually get a throwing device, a stick that can go onto the stone and help you do that if you can't get down into that crouching position in the hack. There also happens to be wheelchair curling, and wheelchair curling has taken part in Paralympics. So curlers can be of all ages, they can be of all physical conditions, but well, let's be honest, the better shape you're in, the more you're going to be able to enjoy the sport, too.
So a little bit, anyone, sounds like, can play curling. Can you get injured curling?
Yeah, you can. And one of the things that I'm required by law to tell my students is that you can be hurt. Probably the worst injury I ever saw on our team occurred a number of years ago. A young man on our team was sliding down the ice. He was just a freshman, and he thought it was really cool to go sliding on this piece of Teflon that you have on your non-dominant foot, and he lost his balance, slipped, came down on the ice, and he was out cold by the time I got to him.
Ooh.
And as it turned out, I couldn't get him off the ice. I had to call the EMTs to come, and they came running out on the ice with their stretcher. I thought, oh, my gosh, here we got guys in leather shoes out on the ice. I'm going to have four EMTs go down, too. We're going to have to call another ambulance for them. Well, we got the young man up off the ice and to the hospital. It turned out that he had hit the point of his shoulder. That rammed into his collarbone, and actually he broke the collarbone in four places. I thought I wouldn't see him again, but the next year he was out for the team. He curled all through high school, curled all through college, and last year his mom gave me a phone call because he was so excited. He had he's now an engineer working in Madison. He had curled against the U.S. Olympic team with the team that he goes bondspieling with, and he said that she should be sure to tell me he played the Olympians and he beat them. So,
oh, great.
He came back from a horrendous injury and still curls and still loves the sport.
Yeah, I'm glad that story has a happy ending. What about you? Have you ever had an injury?
Thank goodness, no. Other than maybe a little tendonitis here or there or some creaky old knees, other than that, I've been pretty good. It doesn't mean I haven't fallen. I remember the first time I was playing, I slipped and I fell. And one of the rules, again, you can't touch any of the stones as they're moving. And I had fallen, and stones were bumping into each other, and I didn't know how to get out of the way of all of them. I'm lifting one arm, lifting another, lifting a leg, lifting another leg, and finally all the stones came to a rest. And the skip from the opposing team looked at me, and he said, "Man, I bet you were just a whiz at Twister when you were a kid."
When you look back at your curling career, what's your proudest moment?
You know, I would have to say that I'm an okay curler. I've played in our club championship round once, but that's not my proudest. The proudest moments I've had are through my high school kids. In the 15 years or so that I've been coaching, we've won nine state championships. And to watch my kids go from not being able to even get out on the ice without falling down to be able to win a state championship and watch the progress that they make, I think that's the thing I love most about curling, and that's the thing I'm most proud of, is their accomplishments.
The ice, you know, we mentioned, we're talking about the ice here. Is that pretty much the same setup as what you'd have as in hockey? Do you have a Zamboni that runs around and smooths it out, or not so much?
No, not so much. Curling ice is very different. We do condition the ice every morning. We have someone that comes out to our club about 4 a.m. and scrapes the ice and makes sure that it's as level as possible. But after that, the ice is very different. Hockey ice, you want the ice to be as smooth as you can possibly get it. We actually do something called pebbling to the ice. If you look at a basketball or a football, it has a pebble grain to it. We do that to the ice. After you've played, before the next team comes out, we'll take a can of hot water, go out on the ice, and we'll actually spray the water with droplets, or spray the ice with droplets of water, and that freezes in little bumps that looks like the pebble grain of a basketball or football. The reason for that is that the surface, the running surface of a curling stone, is concave. If you ran that stone over smooth hockey ice, a vacuum would be created, and the stone would stop. You couldn't throw it hard enough to get it down the sheet of ice. The pebbling actually allows an air current to go underneath the stone, to flow under the stone, and allows the stone then to continue moving. So that's why we pebble the ice.
And how long are you sliding it? How far?
It's going to be a little over 100 feet. You slide down the ice, and there's a line on the sheet of ice called the hog line. And I wish I could give you the history of why it's called the hog line. I just don't know that. But the rule is that you have to let go of the stone before it reaches the hog line on your end, and then on the opposite end it has to cross that hog line. So it's going to be traveling quite a distance down that sheet of ice.
We are talking with Mike Maher, who is the coach of the Wausau East High School curling team. And you're listening to Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-780-9742 is the number if you want to get in on the program. 1-800-780-9742. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just look for Route 51 Show. And that would also be the way that you would find us on Twitter as well. Are there open ice sessions? You know, like sort of how skating rinks let people just skate around for fun, you know, for curling. So if you want to just round up a few friends and go play, can you?
That's a little bit difficult to do because, number one, we have leagues every night of the week. In fact, we'll have a 5:30 league, a 7:30 league. However, the Wausau Curling Club, and I would imagine curling clubs all across the state, will host open houses. And that's when we do invite the public to come down, and we'll have instructors there to teach you about the equipment, teach you how to get into the hack and slide out safely so you don't have an injury. And probably the best way, if you're interested in curling, the best way to go about it is to contact your local curling club. You can find them online. You can look in your yellow pages. Or you can contact the United States Curling Association in Stevens Point. But curlers are always eager to have other people come out and give the sport a try. If you know somebody that curls, you can ask them to take you out on the ice. We actually have some companies that, for team building, have contacted the Wausau Curling Club and brought their executives, brought their employees out on the ice, and they've had a great time. A little slipping, a little sliding, but by the time an hour or so goes by, they can at least deliver a stone down the ice and have some fun doing that.
So just go online, search for hockey clubs in, you know, Antigo.
Well,
or,
a hockey club wouldn't do it for you, but maybe a curling club.
All right, curling club. I'm sorry.
that's okay.
The reason I was saying hockey because of my next question here. I wanted to say when I was younger, I used to play a lot of street hockey. I'm wondering if there's any sort of thing kind of like street curling, you know, maybe a stone on some tiny wheels or something to help you slide it down the surface in case you can't play it on ice or something.
You know, it's funny you'd
ask. Maybe that's just my imagination getting the better of me there.
No, it's not. In fact, there's been a U.S. Curling Association has promoted something called curling in the gym, where you can actually get stones on wheels that you can use on a gym surface, not damage the gym surface, and at least give you kind of a flavor of curling. I know also that there are some people here in Wausau that will go out on Lake Wausau and throw stones. They've gotten some old stones that nobody wanted to use anymore, and they've got a little curling game going on. I've actually seen some of the kids in my neighborhood, my children, for instance, when the sidewalks are pretty slippery, go out and do a little curling on the sidewalk. It's not something you see all of the time. But once in a while, you'll see somebody that gets a little crazy and decides to do something like that.
Rick Ryer, who's helping put this show together from Wausau, I'm actually down here in Madison, wants to know what happens when you drop a broom.
Well, there's a tradition in some clubs. Our club, for instance, one person drops a broom, everybody drops a broom. And it makes for a lot of noise, and it adds a little levity to the time. It looks like a goofy thing the first time you see it, but it's caught on enough that all the high school curlers, they saw some of the older guys do it, and they decided they wanted to do it too, and now it's contagious. I'm seeing it with all of our high school curlers, and I also actually saw it at one of the clubs that we were playing at just a week or two ago.
I want to talk a little bit about, I guess, maybe more of curling on a global scale here. Which country is typically seen as a curling world power? Who's the dominant one?
Boy, the Canadians are really one of the countries that are dominant. The Scots are traditionally pretty strong, but you look for the Canadians, the Swedes, the Norwegians. Curling is pretty solid up there. And you know, when you talk about Canadian curling, curling up there is as popular as bowling is in the United States. It's not unusual for a city the size of Wausau, about 38,000 people. If we were in Canada, you'd maybe have three or four curling clubs up there. Kids are introduced to curling very young. In fact, I was reading a Sports Illustrated article a few years ago about Wayne Gretzky, and he loved going up to play in Buffalo because he could catch Canadian curling on TV. And he loved playing hockey, But on those days when he got a little tired of hockey, Wayne Gretzky is a pretty good curler, too.
I noticed when you were rattling off those countries, you did not mention the United States. How good is our country?
The United States is actually pretty good. Right now, middle of the pack to maybe upper third of the countries. We were disappointed, I think, in the last Olympics. We didn't play as well as we thought we were going to. But we are very much up and coming. And what's interesting for this area, in all of the Olympic Games that curling has been participating in, the curlers are predominantly from Wisconsin and Minnesota. And so we are absolutely a hotbed of curling and some of the best curling in the nation and some pretty good curling internationally as well.
We are talking about curling with Mike Maher. He is the head coach of the Wausau East High School curling team, home of the Lumberjacks, by the way. And we want to hear about your curling experiences. Tell us about the best outing you've ever had. Tell us what your curling goals are. What got you into curling? Why do you do it? 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742 to join the program. And we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back for another few minutes. We'll look ahead to see what curling may have in store for the future. And, of course, we also want to hear from you. I'm Bill Martins, filling in for Glenn Moberg, this week on Route 51 on the Ideas Network.
Please join me, Glenn Moberg, each Thursday afternoon from 5 to 6 as I host Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, where we engage in discussions about the people, places, and ideas unique to North Central Wisconsin. You can visit the Route 51 website at wpr.org/Route51 for information on the upcoming show or follow the link to the archive page to listen to a past show. Route 51, it's broadcast on WPR's Ideas Network, where we talk about issues that matter to you.
We are talking about curling for just a few more minutes here on this week's edition of Route 51. Bill Martins in for Glenn Moberg, and our guest is Mike Maher, who is the head coach of the Wausau East Lumberjacks curling team. And, you know, Mike, we've been talking a lot about present-day curling. We've talked about the past a little bit. I want to look ahead to the future for just a moment. What do you see? Do you think this will just continue to grow in popularity, especially in Wisconsin?
I honestly do. As I told you at the beginning of the show that when I started coaching, we only had 14 kids on the Wausau East curling team. Now we're up to 46, and we've been as high as 65 kids. I'm seeing new schools involved in curling. Marshfield has just been curling with us for a couple of years. Eau Claire is jumping in for the first time this year. We've really expanded curling exponentially in the state of Wisconsin, especially at the high school level. So it's a sport that young people are becoming more and more interested in. I see all across the state that kind of thing happening. And then kind of on a personal level, I have a son by the name of John who is a sophomore at Drake University. When he got down to Des Moines, Iowa, where Drake is located, he missed curling so much that he said, "Dad, I think I'm going to try to get a curling team going." And I said, "Well, do they have a curling club?" "Nope, but I'll figure that out when I need to." This year, he started the first Drake University curling club. They are playing on a hockey rink. They have to put in hacks, and they have to put in houses and all of the lines, and they have to pebble the ice. But the hockey arena has been very helpful. And he was hoping he'd maybe get a dozen Drake students to join. As it's turned out, he's had probably 50 students off and on that have come down to learn about curling and to play the game. And he set up a contest with a friend of his who goes to Luther College, and they're going to bring some curlers down from Luther to Drake and have the first college bonspiel in the state of Iowa. So that's kind of exciting stuff. Hmm.
Yeah, I can see why that would be. How do you start up a curling club?
Well, if you're going to do it at a college level, you just start passing information around. You have to get equipment, and my son was very fortunate in getting equipment donated from Pennsylvania, from here in Wausau. He actually got some brooms sent down from the Anchorage, Alaska curling club. Then he was able to rent some stones and get that going. But basically, if you're in a place that doesn't have a curling facility, but maybe there is a hockey facility, you might talk to the ice manager and see if they'll cooperate in helping you to get started. And then you just talk to other places that have arena curling. For example, Phoenix, Arizona has a curling club. You wouldn't expect one down there. And there's also curling in Florida. So places that aren't traditionally cold, not necessarily hotbeds of curling, but you do have some curling places where you wouldn't expect it.
We have just a few minutes left to go in this program. I want to throw the phone number out there one more time, just in case any of you have a particularly maybe a funny curling story, or you want to call in and ask a question or tell us why you like curling. The number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Mike, what's the biggest myth or misconception that people seem to have about curling?
Well, to be honest, I think the biggest myth is that it isn't much fun and that it isn't for people that are athletic. It is for people that are athletic. We've had some very good athletes, and it's exciting. With anything else, you might, if you don't understand it, you're not going to appreciate it. I'll be absolutely honest. The very first time I saw a curling match, students of mine had invited me down to watch the Wausau East team play, and this is before I had curled and before I was coaching. I watched a couple of ends, and I turned to my wife, and I said, let's get out of here. This is like watching paint dry. A few years later, though, I tried it. And I found it to be as exciting as anything I've ever done. And in watching one of the state championships that my teams won, it came down to the very, very last stone. I was just a wreck when the game was over. I was so stressed out by it. And one of my students asked me, was this the greatest sporting event you've ever seen, the most exciting? And I said, you know, I'll be honest, that game was. And it's not that I haven't seen exciting sporting events in the past. When I was a kid, my dad took me to watch Green Bay play the Dallas Cowboys in the Ice Bowl. There have been some curling games that I think were just as exciting as that was for me when I was a 14-year-old boy.
Do you have any particularly funny stories about curling? Maybe either something that you did or maybe something you witnessed?
Well, I'm glad I didn't witness this one. It occurred in the Badger State Games a few years ago. A team came in, and they wanted to look very Scottish, and so they wore kilts. It was a group of guys, and one guy wanted to be really authentic. And unfortunately, everybody would find out how authentic he was. He got down in the hack. He crouched down. He did his forward press, his trunk lift, and in lifting his trunk, lifting his rear end up so that he could get into the delivery, actually, it looked more like a pleated skirt. Anyway, it flipped up over his back. He mooned the whole audience. His wife was sitting back there. She just about died. And everybody in the place just broke out laughing. So I guess
we have pictures of that on the Route 51 Facebook page.
Do you really?
I'm kidding. No, we don't. I don't think that would go over too well. But, yeah, I can see why one would not want to witness such a thing.
No.
That is very funny, though. I guess if people are interested, you know, they've heard this program and they're like, you know, I think I've got a new take on curling. I think I might want to give this a shot. Why don't you tell us again, what would be the best way of getting involved? What should we do?
Best way would be to look in the yellow pages, see if you've got a local curling club, go online, type in curling clubs, type in Wisconsin curling clubs, or type in, say, Wausau Curling Club or Stevens Point Curling Club, wherever you might be located. Or contact the United States Curling Association. They have a website. They also have a phone number that you can access. They're located in Stevens Point. So there are lots of ways. Or just talk to somebody that you know that might be a curler. Curlers are some of the friendliest, warmest people that I've ever met and very eager to share their sport with new people.
All right. Well, Mike, I appreciate you joining us this week on Route 51. Best of luck to you and your Lumberjack squad. When are you guys playing next?
We've got a game tomorrow, in fact. Stevens Point's coming to town.
Okay. And that's where's that taking place?
That's going to be at the Wausau Curling Club, which is located in Marathon Park in the city of Wausau.
Fabulous. All right. Well, best of luck to you. And it was a pleasure having you on here. Maybe we'll do it again at some point.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right, that was Mike Maher, who is the head coach of the Wausau East High School curling team. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Route 51. We are just about out of time here. Let's see. If you want to continue this discussion, you most certainly can head over to the Route 51 Facebook fan page. Just search for Route 51 Show. You'll also find our Twitter account, which is Route 51 Show as well. So feel free to check that out. Or if you want to listen to a past show or listen to this one all over again, WPR.org/Route51 will take care of that. I'm Bill Martins. Thank you to Glenn Moberg, Rick Ryer, Jane Ritger, and of course Mike Maher for the program. And until next time, we're heading out of town.